And we will look again tonight at a couple of particular passages and then many, many texts throughout the book of Proverbs as we look again at one of the concluding themes that I wanted to share with you dear ones, thinking about how to make good use of the Proverbs. So Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing and righteousness, justice and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then over in the New Testament, in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. And we'll begin reading in verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. Well, let's start up in verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's pray together. Lord God, we beg that you would come by your blessed Holy Spirit this night, and that, Lord, you would take this, the very word of your mouth, and that, Lord, you would teach us of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, that you would show us more of your beauty, of your glory, of your majesty, of your saving power in these passages that we will look at this evening. Lord, put in our heart a reverence, a wonder, an awe for you. And that, Lord, we would live that out more consistently and clearly in our everyday lives. And, Lord, as we think about the book of Proverbs, Lord, you have taught us so many things about this portion of Holy Scripture over the past months. And we pray, Father, that these particular things would not be lost in our busy lives. That, Lord, you would come and encourage us tonight again to think together, and that you would lead us, Lord Jesus, in your paths to make good use of your word. And that, Lord, as we think about growing in you, as we read and feed and talk about and meditate on and seek to live the book of Proverbs, Lord, we pray that you would give to us joy and excitement to be growing up in you, Lord Jesus, and bearing the fruit that is pleasing to you. And so, Lord, come and make your word fresh and alive to us, even this night. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, over the last several sessions that we have looked at, we've been kind of thinking about how to make good use of the book of Proverbs beyond just the specific truths and themes that we have looked at. I mean, the book of Proverbs covers the gamut of everyday life. And we said that if we would really put this to use, that first of all, we have to see that the book of Proverbs is teaching us of our need of Jesus Christ as our Redeemer and Savior. That the book of Proverbs is not just a list of moral platitudes, that anybody can just take these moral sayings and put them into practice and we're good to go. But the book of Proverbs, as all of Scripture does, shows us our need of Jesus Christ, to be trusting in Him and feeding upon Him and belonging to Him and growing in Him. We then considered how the book of Proverbs is based upon the standard of right and wrong that God Himself has revealed. And so when we read through the book of Proverbs, we ought to be thinking about the practical, everyday application of one or more of the Ten Commandments. And Jesus summed those Ten Commandments up by quoting two passages in the Old Testament of two commandments: to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Then we considered how the book of Proverbs also not only teaches us of Christ and is revealing an application of one or more of the Ten Commandments, but it also is revealing to us the character of God. that the book of Proverbs, as all of Scripture does, is revealing to us the perfections of God. And we considered many of those perfections and how that as we read the book of Proverbs and meditate on it and pray over it, God is reminding us who He is so that we will delight in Him. And our hearts will worship Him, and we will be drawn more and more to His character and beg that He would mold us more and more into His image. Well, tonight we want to look at another aspect of this application or making practical use of the Proverbs. Any particular proverb and whole chapters, I hope it is your habit at least many times during the year to read through the book of Proverbs. These 31 chapters, most months, not every month, but most months have 31 days. And so the book of Proverbs really lends itself easily, doesn't it, for us to read a chapter a day in the book of Proverbs. Well, we want to think about how that the book of Proverbs now is one of the places in Scripture. It's not the only place, but one of the places in Scripture that the Lord Jesus would grow us in the fruit of the Spirit. And so that's what we want to kind of think about and focus on as we look at some specific Proverbs tonight. And if you'll turn with me to the book of Galatians again, the passage that we read in chapter 5, we see a passage where the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Galatia, this group of churches in that region, and he is instructing these churches, plural, in that region of Galatia, that they need the gospel that God has once for all delivered to the saints, and they need to grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ. That there are false teachers who are seeking to lead them astray. And in chapter 5, having exposed these Judaizers, these false teachers who would take the Old Testament and pervert it and twist it to teach a way of salvation that God never intended, that is useless, that cannot save, that man would trust in himself and the works of his own righteousness. No, he says that woman, the present-day Jerusalem in the Apostle Paul's day, is in bondage with her children. But that the Jerusalem from above, she is free. And those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are her children. And you see that back in chapter 4, for example. In verse 24. Now, this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. And so the Judaizers taught that you could be saved by keeping the law of God. For she is in slavery with her children, but the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came to set us free. And he comes back to that theme over and over in the rest of the book. You see down in verse 31, "So brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman." And then in chapter 5, verse 1, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Down in verse 13 of chapter 5, "For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." And so to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ is to be set free from the bondage and the guilt of sin. And it is that God has made us now adopted into His family, and God calls upon us to live out now this freedom we have, freedom from sin, freedom from the guilt of sin, freedom from the power of sin, to walk with God and to walk with one another. We see in verse 16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." He has warned up in verse 15 that if we don't walk by the Spirit, what will that look like? We will be biting and devouring one another. And so he describes now how that there is this war going on in the life of the child of God. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. We have remaining sin. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. You see, a child of God has a new heart. We, as Romans chapter 7 says, now that we are in Jesus, we joyfully concur with the Lord Jesus Christ and His law. Verse 18, "But if you are led by the Spirit, or you are not under the law," meaning you're no longer under the condemnation of the law of God, under its guilt, under its condemning a power, "but we are free now, free to love and serve the living God in Jesus Christ." And so the book of Proverbs is one of the places in Scripture where God is showing us what it looks like to be living out of this joyous freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, to honor the living God, to love Him, and to love those around us as God defines love. Now, you see, the world talks a lot about love, but the love that the world has really isn't love at all. It is a perversion of love. And in reality, it is hate. Look at verse 19. "Now, the works of the flesh are evident." Now think about how many of these things in our culture are exalted and viewed as the norm or good or acceptable things. Well, you can call it love, you can call it good, but it in reality, these are destructive things that lead to death and hell itself. Idolatry. Verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step or walk with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." And so he goes on talking about how we have a responsibility to help those around us as they are seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ. And then down in verse 7 of chapter 6, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so let's look at these fruit of the Spirit in terms of the book of Proverbs and growing in the fruit of the Spirit in terms of the Proverbs. First of all, love. Jesus would call us as we feed upon these paths that are revealed to us in these 31 chapters of Proverbs to grow in the fruit of the Spirit in terms of love. Now, we need to clearly understand what love is. And let's look quickly. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten Son. And so love is an action verb. Love is a verb that means we are doing something. Well, what are we doing? Well, we're doing good, as God defines good, for the benefit of the people around us. According to God's definition of good, it's a heart of compassion that seeks to do good for the benefit of those around us. We see over in 1 John chapter 5, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. And by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. And so when we're reading through the book of Proverbs now, God is teaching us and inciting us and growing us in this matter of the fruit of the Spirit of love. Let's look at a few of these passages. First of all, in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And what is it that God is revealing? He reveals to us now his wisdom personified here in Proverbs chapter 8, calling us unto himself. And who are we to love? We are to love God, and we are to love our neighbor. You remember the Lord Jesus summarized the whole of the commandments of God. He says it boils down to two things. The first and foremost is to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like unto it, to love our neighbor as ourself. Well, in Proverbs chapter 8, God's wisdom calls us to fear God. And when we read about fearing God in the Old Testament and the New Testament, in a very real sense, you could use the term love as a synonym. That we're standing in amazement of who God is, and our hearts are just enthralled with this great, great God. And so, in verse 12 of Proverbs chapter 8, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. And so the fruit of the Spirit is love. And Proverbs has a lot of practical things teaching us about what it looks like to do good. The opposite of love is hate. And here we have God telling us that the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Well, that means that we love what is good. God hates perverted speech. And so we're going to love to speak what is true and right in the sight of God, and to speak truth one with another. That's what love looks like in action. We see in the book of Proverbs, for example, in Proverbs chapter 10, that we love the people around us. And here we have in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. And so here's a call to love your parents in the Lord Jesus, to do what is good in God's sight in terms of your parents. Over in Proverbs chapter 5, we have a passage where God calls upon husbands to love your wives. In Proverbs chapter 5, at the end of verse 19, the Lord says, "Be intoxicated always in her love." That husbands ought to love their wives and rejoice to be loved by your wife. And so the book of Proverbs is just full of this matter of growing in the fruit of the Spirit. Not only the passages that have love or hate in them, but everything in the book of Proverbs is instructing us about what it looks like to love God or not love God, or love our fellow man or not love our fellow man. And if we would make good use of the book of Proverbs, when we read, we would be saying and thinking, "Lord, help me to love you better. Lord, help me to love the people around me better in terms of walking in your ways, of honoring you." Let's look at a couple of other passages in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. We'll look at just a few of these and think about the fruit of the Spirit of love. The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. And so here's the picture of a wife. And God calls upon us to love. Well, what's that going to look like? Well, in its practical outworking, God says that a wise woman is going to love her husband. And she's going to be building up her house with her own hands. But if she doesn't love God and she doesn't love her husband, she's tearing her own house down with her own hands. Look in verse 2. "Whoever walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is devious in his ways despises him." What does love look like? Means telling the truth. Somebody asks you a question and you don't tell them the truth, that's not love. God calls upon us to be a people who are doing good as God defines good. And verse 3, "By the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. But abundant crops come by the strength of the ox." And so one of the ways that we love God, we love the people around us, we're pursuing our callings. And we want to grow in the fruit of the Spirit of love. And verse 4 describes how that work sometimes is hard. But through the strength of an oxen, an abundant crop is yielded. Love. Look down in verse 19. "The evil bow down before the good, the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends." And whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. And so as we think about people around us being in need, what does God say love looks like? You remember 1 John? He says, whoever says, be warm, be filled. If we have means to help our neighbor and they are in legitimate need, love is not just words, but love is action. All right, so we could just go on and on looking at this whole matter of love. Let's look maybe at a couple of other things. Proverbs chapter 17. Let's think about when we ought to love. Look at Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loves when? At all times. And a brother is born for adversity. So here's what the fruit of the Spirit looks like. Here's how the book of Proverbs is teaching us, growing us. We want to love God. We want to love those around us. And here's a proverb that talks about a friend loves at all times. Look at Proverbs chapter 27. That doesn't mean that we are handing out emotional lollipops all the time. That's the world's concept of love. Look at Proverbs 26. 27, verse 6. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. See, that's what love looks like. The fruit of the Spirit, of telling somebody the truth. Sometimes that's painful to tell somebody the truth. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but profuse or deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. You remember what Judas did when he betrayed Jesus? It was an outward expression of what? Of love, but it wasn't love, was it? It was hate. He comes and he kisses Jesus, and he had told the guard, he said, now the guy I kiss, he's the one that you want to arrest. And so Proverbs is showing us what love looks like, to love God, to love one another. And Jesus is growing us in the fruit of the Spirit of love. Okay, let's go on and think about the fruit of the Spirit of joy. And let's look at several Proverbs in terms of joy. Rejoicing in the Lord, rejoicing and calling others to join with us. Rejoicing in God's goodness to us. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 6. An evil man is ensnared in his transgression, but a righteous man sings and rejoices. And so, what is it that God would teach us? It is that we have gladness of heart as we learn to walk with Jesus. God puts a song in our heart. Even in the midst of difficulties, we rejoice that we have a refuge. Remember the call to worship, Psalm 143? The psalmist was in distress. But his heart had Christian joy to be able to go someplace to find relief, to find peace. The Proverbs have much to say about rejoicing in God and seeking to be a blessing to those around us. Let's just look at several of them. Again, Proverbs chapter 5, here talking about husbands and wives. In Proverbs chapter 5, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. And so even in our homes, a husband and wife relationship, it ought to be a place where we experience the fruit of the Spirit of joy in the Lord. And the book of Proverbs is instructing us and would grow us. The Lord Jesus would use this as a tool to grow us. Not only do we see that in terms of husbands and wives, but you remember in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, a wise son makes what? A glad father. A father that has joy. But a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. And so here's the picture of God coming and speaking His word, or not just only God directly, but sometimes God uses other people to bring a good word. Husband and wife, or parents or children, or a brother or a sister or a friend, bringing a word and causing us to go, yeah, God is good. I am going to trust in Him. He is worthy to be praised. There is hope in this fallen world in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 9. The Lord says, now listen, just because you may be in distress today, you keep trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Proverbs 13, verse 9, the light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. And here's this picture of a long-term view of life. And you may have a hard situation at the moment, but if you keep giving yourself to Jesus and turn from your sin and seek to follow Him and do what's right in His sight, He will bless. He will bless. Look at Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Here's another verse about sons and daughters. Verse 20, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. And then down in verse 30, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the bones. And so here we see one of the benefits of having joy is that a joyful heart is good medicine. God doesn't want us to be living in anguish. When we have distress, we need to run to Jesus, and when we do so, He turns our mourning into joy. And Jesus would grow us in the fruit of the Spirit. And we see here many of the Proverbs talk about how that we are a people who need to be speaking those words like apples of gold in settings of silver. These words of truth. Look at Proverbs 17, verse 22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And so the fruit of the Spirit, that's another aspect of how we ought to be using the book of Proverbs in a way that would honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's see. Love, joy, what's next? Peace, good. Proverbs chapter 3. The Lord Jesus would grow us in terms of experiencing peace with the living God. Being able to rest, to have comfort in heart, to experience the great joy of having the war with us and the living God over. And all is well now. All is well because the blood of Jesus has made peace between us and the living God. Look at Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life, and what? Peace they will add to you. And so when we walk with Jesus, when we are walking in terms of the Proverbs, one of the things that Proverbs gives us, it not only instructs us in the fruit of the Spirit of love, and not only instructs us in terms of joy, but it gives us peace. Look down in Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are what? Peace. All the paths of the Lord, they're peace. And so when we learn the Proverbs, these practical applications of God's wisdom, of following Jesus in our everyday lives, Jesus is going to give us the experience of having more and more peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. This is an interesting proverb. Proverbs 12. And we'll start reading in verse 14. From the fruit of his mouth a man is satisfied with good, and the work of a man's hand comes back to him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. And so what a contrast. Those who are at war with God, they don't have peace, but those who are walking with Jesus, he gives us a peace, and we experience joy. Proverbs chapter 16. And this is a general statement. Now, I'm going to prove to you that there are exceptions to this rule here in just a moment. But this is a general statement. Look at verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, that's a general statement, and there are exceptions. You know, when I was in a grade school, the first time it really hit me how complicated English grammar was in about the seventh grade. And I had an English teacher that was very precise, and she would give me a rule, and then she would start giving all these exceptions to the rule. And I'd be going, well, you know, is this really a rule with all these exceptions? Well, here's a general statement, but there are exceptions. And what's the most obvious exception? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, he pleased the Lord perfectly. And his enemies weren't at peace with him. But generally, If a person loves the Lord Jesus and walks with Him generally, particularly if you live in a culture that is full of righteousness, then God even can, if it pleases Him and will bring glory to His name, God can even make our enemies be at peace with us. And so this matter of peace and experiencing peace and growing in peace, it's all over in the book of Proverbs. Patience. Let's think about patience. Proverbs has much to teach us about waiting on the Lord. And really, that's what patience is. Patience is, Lord, I'm going to trust You right now, even though this is kind of a hard situation. I'm going to trust You. In the book of Proverbs, let's look in chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. And here we see patience in terms of having our needs met. Okay? Proverbs chapter 12. And we'll just start reading in verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of evil devices he condemns. No one is established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will never be moved. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are just. The counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright delivers them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. A man is commended according to his good sense, but one of twisted mind is despised. Better to be lowly and have a servant than to play the great man and lack bread. So you'd be better off to wait on the Lord and be in a lowly position and do what's right than to be saying, well, no, I'm going to get what I want today. Verse 10, whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast, but the mercy of the wicked is cruel. And we'll look at that here in just a minute when we think about kindness. But the Lord calls upon us to be a people who trust and obey Jesus and wait upon the Lord. Look down in verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. We're willing to plant. We're willing to water. We're willing to wait on the Lord. We're willing to wait and keep ourselves, to express our sexuality in the bonds of marriage rather than just going and getting what we want when we want it. Patience. The book of Proverbs is full of the fruit of the Spirit. God would teach us to grow in Christ. Kindness. We're out of time, so I'm just going to touch on a few things of the rest of these. Kindness. Look at Proverbs 12, since we were there. Proverbs 12, verse 10. Whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast, but the mercy of the wicked is cruel. And here, a righteous man even shows kindness to your animals. But the mercy of the wicked, they don't even know how to show kindness to people. But God's people ought to be growing in this matter of kindness, of us showing mercy to those who are in need. You remember the Proverbs that we looked at over and over that talks about whoever is generous to those who are in need is doing something that is going to be honorable in God's sight. For example, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 31. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. And so, kindness. The book of Proverbs is full of kindness in our homes, marriages, husbands, wives, parents, children, our church family, reaching out, seeking to be good Samaritans. The whole matter of goodness. Turn with me and let's look at a couple of Proverbs dealing with goodness. Look over in Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. And this could fall under kindness or goodness. But look at Proverbs 24, verse 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? And so here we see being a force for good. Every time I read this passage, I think about ministering to those who are in need in terms of unplanned, unwanted pregnancies and the ABLE Pregnancy Resource Center, and how that we have the joy of doing what is good, of showing kindness and mercy to those who are in need. Let's look at one more about goodness, doing what's right. Look over in Proverbs 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no one pursues. You know, when you're not telling the truth, when you're not doing what's right in God's sight. You're always looking over your shoulder. But look at this next. But the righteous are bold as a lion. And so when we do what's good in God's sight, we have confidence to live. The book of Proverbs would grow us. God would use this portion of His Word. Faithfulness. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Look at verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. Being faithful to our word. If we tell somebody we're going to do something, we do it. Unless we're providentially hindered. We're faithful. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And what? He will direct your paths. Faithfulness. The next one, gentleness. Let's just look at a couple. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And the book of Proverbs has a lot to teach us about how we need to grow, to be more gentle, to be more like the Lord Jesus. He's not weak. Gentleness doesn't mean weakness, but it means that we are seeking to do what is right in God's sight. Look at verse 2. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is what? A tree of life. But perverseness in it breaks the spirit. And if you want to look at more illustrations of all of these things, see me afterward. I had all kinds of other illustrations we could look at. But the last one in the list of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Look over in Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, self-control. verse 19, hear my son and be wise and direct your heart in the way. Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. Self-control. Learning to say no to what is not pleasing in God's sight and to say yes to Jesus. The book of Proverbs is full of the fruit of the Spirit and of practical everyday examples of what it looks like to be growing up in Jesus. The last one, Proverbs chapter 5, and here is a young man, and he says, now if you don't exercise self-control in terms of sexuality, he said, here's what you're going to experience. Verse 8, keep your way far from her, talking about the adulteress. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and at the end of your life you groan when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. I said that was the last one. Let's just look at one more real quick. Proverbs chapter 6. And this is self-control in terms of making ourselves work. You know, we live in a culture where there's a lot of incentives to not work. And the Lord Jesus created us to work. He created us to be productive. And so Proverbs 6, self-control. Verse 6, go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? And so what's going to give you the strength to turn the TV off so that you can get a good night's sleep? Or to not daydream anymore, but to do your assignment, you know, which is more fun? Well, it's more fun to daydream. But self-control. And so the book of Proverbs, and when we read this, we go, Lord, I don't want to be a sluggard. Lord, help me to grow in you. Lord, to honor you. Well, the whole book of Proverbs, a powerful tool that teaches us of Jesus, the perfections of our great God, His standard of right and wrong, His law, and the fruit of the Spirit. What an exciting portion of Scripture the book of Proverbs is. And I pray that it will give you great joy to be reading the book of Proverbs now with new glasses on as you think about, Lord, here are the things I'm asking you to grow me in. As we read and meditate and share and feed on the book of Proverbs as individuals, families, and a church family. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would write upon our hearts your word. Lord, it's easy for us to just get caught in ruts of the way we think, of the way we live. Lord, we want to love you and be close to you and be growing in you. And so, Lord, please, we ask that you would make the book of Proverbs powerful and alive to us as we read it. That you, Lord Jesus, would grow us in the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, we confess that it's easy for us to not think about the gospel, or the Ten Commandments, or the perfections of God, or the fruit of the Spirit, when we read particular portions of the book of Proverbs. But Lord, we ought to, and we ask that you would use just these little glimpses of how you are revealing your glory in all of Scripture, included in the book of Proverbs, to grow us tonight in the fruit of the Spirit. And we're, Lord, excited to grow up in you, Lord Jesus. And so bless us to that end, so that we would praise you and love you and be alive in you and bear forth more fruit for your praise. In Jesus we pray. Amen.